Good morning, and we welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and let us go before him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for bringing us here together on this beautiful day to hear your word. We ask you that you will bless this teaching that you brought forward today, Lord, to speak to us. We also ask you that you give us peace to each one of us during these times, especially during the holiday season. We thank you, Father, and we ask you this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Prior to putting this message together, I was actually working on a different message, but somehow I was led to do this, and it's not a very pleasant message today, so hopefully you got encouraged through the worship song today. However, on the final verse, we will have encouragement. We're going to be going to Romans chapter 16, verses 17 through 20. And the title of the message is, Do Not Be Deceived. The letter to the Romans is a greeting to Christians in Rome. In today's teaching, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Rome about a warning regarding false doctrine. He's urging the church to be vigilant against false teachers who their sole purpose is to cause division within the church. He will expose their true motivations and also will show and reassures the church that God will triumph at the end if we remain faithful. This passage reminds us that unity in Christ is essential, that discernment is necessary, and that God's ultimate victory is certain. And in the same way, I urge you, brethren, to be vigilant because false teachers are everywhere, and we need to be prepared. Let us go now and read Romans chapter 16, verses 17 through 20. Now, I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. I found 4 points in these few verses that we just read, and I'm going to go over one by one. The first point in verse 17 speaks that we need to take note of troublemakers, those who can cause division and offenses. Let us read this verse again, verse 17. Now, I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them. I'm also going to be reading you this from the King James Version, which in my opinion is a little bit is more clarified to understand. And that is because of the word note. Note comes from the Greek word skopein, and it means to mark them. So the King James Version reads it this way. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them. Once again, that's from the Greek word skopein, which causes divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. This is the key word, to mark them, or to scopain, which signifies to observe attentively and diligently. And what the author is trying to tell us is that we need to be observant. But who are we need to be observant of? The Apostle Paul gives us the answer in this verse. Anyone that can cause division, those who teaches false doctrine and offenses, they are stumbling blocks. These individuals are not serving Christ by their own selfish desires. They will manipulate you and will deceive others. So what, as Christians, are we to do? The best way is to avoid them. That is what the scripture is telling us here. This is the most peaceful but very effective way of resistance. Do not even follow them. We need to depart from them. We have nothing to do with them. Not for the purpose of disputing with them, but because we may get infected with their errors and wrong doctrine if you're not careful. For then we will also fall along with them. In 2 John chapter 10 and 11, actually 2 John verses 10 and 11, it's clear about this message. Let me read it here. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him. In other words, do not give him hospitality into your house, nor greet them. For what happens if we do? Verse 11 tells us the answer. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. And this is a serious warning for all of us. There's no way around it. You may say, why would anyone fall for a fast doctrine to begin with? And one of the reasons, I believe, is because people are hungry for the word, but unfortunately they do not know better. And perhaps it's because they don't study or read their Bibles on a constant basis. So they will believe anything that somebody teaches them. For there will always be those that believe that there's a God-given duty to teach other doctrine contrary to what you have been taught or what you know that is right. Therefore, we as Christians need to question that, not just accept whatever you hear. And that is the reason we need to know our Bible, because people will interpret it differently. However, we know there's only one basic biblical doctrine, and it is not of any private interpretation, as we read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. God has given us all that pertains to life and to godliness in His Word. It is all there. We do not need a new revelation. What we do need, though, is a new experience. However, we don't need to go outside the Scripture for this new experience, but to experience what's in the Scriptures. The false teachers do not only come to cause conflict and division among us, but even more seriously, they come to spread a false doctrine within the church. They will try to separate us from the truth. And if you're not prepared, then you will stumble. We see this in the book of Acts, as the Berean Jews, when they were presented with a new gospel, what they do? They search the scriptures on a daily basis to see if it was true. And we need to do the same so that we will not fall in that trap of false teaching. And it's also our responsibility as Christians to warn those who may be in danger of being hurt. And this is exactly what the Apostle Paul is doing here to the church in Rome. He's telling them to pay attention. We as a body of Christ need to keep our eyes open, because not everyone that comes to church is seeking God nor looking to serve him, for not everyone is meek. The Apostle Paul is not judging the church, but he's showing them how to identify those. And how do we do that? Well, let's see what the scripture says. Let us go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 16 through 20. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. We will be able to identify the false teacher by their fruits or their bad fruits. They will cause division among us, even try to divide us against our own family members. They are very hypocritical, and they are quick to condemn you if you do get in their way. They will really hurt us spiritually. And one thing I notice, when you place God's word in front of them to try to correct them, they will judge you. I have seen this take place in my own experience, and I'm sure some of you have received some of that as well. So the best advice is just stay away from them. Otherwise, they will infiltrate you. The second point, we find it in verse 18. It talks about their motives and methods. They will flatter you, perhaps even pray with you, to gain their loyalty. Let us read verse 18 once again. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ by their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. What is their purpose? They are seeking to elevate themselves. They want to make themselves sound good and grab all the credit instead of giving God the glory. They are seeking to promote a system or perhaps an organization. And it is our duty to discern which is really good doctrine and which is counterfeit. Anything that differs from the sound doctrine of the scriptures opens up a door to a division and offenses. And if the truth be forsaken, then it will lead to pride, and the unity and peace will not last very long. There's a strong warning for the church today to look out for false teachers and teachings that is contrary to the apostles. It is best for us to not even associate with them and their ministry, or we will get infected. So there is a warning. What is that warning? Well, to be careful because of their pernicious policy. They do not serve Christ, neither do they aim at his glory or do his will. And to be careful because of the peril we are in. We are taught to comply with them. Therefore, it is easy to be seduced by them. When a false teacher hears that we have an obedient church, most likely they will come among us to see if we are obedient. And usually the ones that they target are those who are young in the faith. Therefore, it's our duty as a church to teach young in a sound doctrine. So how do we prevent ourselves from being distracted from what the truth is? Number one, we must understand and hold fast to the accepted doctrine. Do not allow anyone to distort the truth. And what is that truth? That Jesus Christ came in human flesh, was crucified, died, and rose again on the third day so that our sins may be forgiven. That is the truth. The second way to prevent is to stay away from them. We need to stop all necessary communion and communication with them. The scripture says do not even greet them. Otherwise, we'll be infected by them. We cannot embrace any of their principles or practices which are destructive to the truth, which is according to godliness, giving them no chance to spread their heresy. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verse 22, tells us, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, even if possible, even the elect. And we see that in churches today. Not because they tell us that they know the truth, but they tell us that, in fact, it is the truth. I came up with four ways that false teachers may deceive us. And if you like to take notes, this is a good time. The first way they can deceive us is that they may look just. Let us look what Matthew chapter 23, verse 28 tells us. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. We might see them as righteous, but God does not. God is never fooled by what we show on the outside. He sees what we are actually are and not what we appear to be to others. The second way they can deceive us is due to their motives. And the reality is they're just clothed in sheep's clothing. And we find that in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. They typically will perceive themselves as noble crusaders for a great cause, but their motives are all about selfishness. A third way they can deceive us is they can make miracles. Let us also go Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Unfortunately, this type of deception has much influence in the church today. Therefore, we are to be diligent because they will use eloquent appeals to deceive us. We need to search the scriptures, otherwise we will be deceived. And at times, perhaps they may start their ministry with sincerity, but later on, because of their pride and their desires, they will deviate from the truth, and instead of uniting with Christ, they become ministers of instruments of Satan. And a fourth way false teachers can deceive us is that they may be unrecognizable. Those are the ones planted and influenced by Satan himself. They have never been with Christ in the first place. These are probably the most dangerous ones, because unless we are strong in the faith, we may not recognize them. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 28, Jesus tells us this in a parable. And let us read it together. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does he have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servants said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? And this is Satan's strategy, to put them in to influence the church so that they can hurt the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we need to be aware. We need to search the scriptures so we may not be deceived. Now into the third point of this teaching, how to discern them. And we read this in verse 19. Let us go back to verse 19. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. This is a good rule to go by. Be wise in things that are good and dumb in things that are evil. And this is in reference to what the prophet Jeremiah said on chapter 4, verse 22. For my people are foolish, they have not known me. They are silly children, and they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. The Apostle Paul tells us that we need to be simple. In other words, be pure like an innocent child. But how do we go about this? The answer is by being obedient and harmless. Let us look at each of those two words. First word, obedience. In Romans chapter 6, verse 17, it reads, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. If we put our faith in God and His word, we are not set free from our slavery to sin. The second word is harmless. Let us look at the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you out as a sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We will face persecution. Therefore, we as a church need to be diligent against the attacks of the dividers and the deceivers. And we do this by using our wisdom from God's word in order to grow in godliness, and it will keep us away from trouble, or at least know how to avoid it. If we learn to be obedient and harmless, it would help us not getting entangled in sinful practices and help us to keep away from the temptation of retaliation. This is how to differentiate genuine against counterfeiters. Now on to my last point, number 4, and this is the best part, our hope. Let us read verse 20 again. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. The God of peace, meaning the author and giver of all good. This is the purpose for which the Son of God was manifested, to destroy the works of the devil. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it tells us, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. This is an assurance of the first great promise that the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head. In spite of all the powers of darkness, we will be brought triumphantly to glory, for Christ has overcome for us. And the Apostle Paul ends this warning to the church with a powerful promise. God will crush Satan under your feet. Although false teachers may trouble the church, we know that God is in control and the ultimate victory belongs to Him. As a church, we need to stand guard. And although the weeds will try to destroy peace and unity within the church and will seem that He's prevailing, this is when God, who is the fountain of peace, will interpose in our behalf and crush Satan through our wisdom and obedience. In the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it reads, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is God who will restrain and vanquish all those that cause divisions and offenses among us. The victory will be complete. Isn't it great that it reads that it is God who does the crushing, but yet Satan ends up under our feet? And this is the good news. We will have peace in the church. God will destroy Satan. And if the grace of Christ be with us, then who can prevail against us? No one. We need to stand firm in our faith. We need to trust in God's timing, and we need to rely on God's grace. To summarize what I went over today, as I was putting this teaching together, I was able to find 14 occasions in the gospel that Jesus warned the disciples regarding false teachers and instructed them to evaluate them, how to discern them. I wrote 5 ways. Number 1, the Apostle Paul uses the word mark them or scopein, which means to observe them. We need to observe them. We need to discern their character. Are they sincere in their devotion to God? Do they have the fruit of the Spirit? Number 2, a way to discern them is through their motives. Do they honor Christ? Do they guide the church into sanctification? Do they show how one must be saved? Do they defend the gospel of Jesus Christ? Number 3, a way to discern them. We need to examine their fruits of their life and their message. It's easy to find out. Are they followers of the Word of God? Are they obedient to His Word? Number four, do they discern their confidence in the Holy Scriptures? Is the Bible the inspired Word of God? And if not, their message is distorted. And finally, number five, we need to evaluate their integrity regarding church offerings. Are they using them for their own pleasures, or do they administer their finances and with integrity to promote God's work? The question today, it is not if we will encounter false doctrine, but when. Therefore, it is our responsibility to distinguish truth from false. And we need to do that by reading His Word and searching the Scriptures on a daily basis so that we can recognize falsehood when we see one. We need to guard against deception and division. We need to seek wisdom and live righteously. And we need to trust in God's victory over evil. And let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for today's teaching. And I ask You, Lord, that You will give us, each one of us, discernment from false teachers so we may not fall in their traps. Help us also to differentiate when a false teacher is around so we can help others as well so they don't go away from the truth. Give us the wisdom necessary to distinguish false from truth. And help us to just search Your Scripture, Your Word on a daily basis, Father. For You are the true Word. And it is in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, that I pray. Amen.